Hello and welcome to the Deathcast. I'm your host, author, and journalist Ian Tott, and I'd like to thank you for joining me as we prepare to take our fourth look at the Cult of Matamoros. Before we get going, as always, I have the normal show notes. If you'd like to follow me on social media, just search for the Deathcast or Deathcast Pod. If you'd like to help support the show, there's a couple of ways that you can do this. First and foremost, you can go to your favorite podcast app, follow the show, and leave a 5-star review. You can also go to tinyurl.com/dcastpatreon for as little as $1.99 a month. You can get access to early ad-free shows and, on occasion, exclusive content, just as my first two Patreon members, Channel and Anthony, did. Alright, now that all of that's out of the way, get yourself a drink, find a nice comfy chair, kick back and relax. I've got my coffee, I've got my cigarettes. Let's go into the crypt! When we left off last week, we had been discussing the initiation of a 23-year-old Matamoros resident by the name of Sarah Maria Aldrete, who ends up being commonly known as Almadrina, the second most powerful person inside of the cult behind Adolfo Constanza. Now, the day after Sarah Aldrete became La Madrina, Elio Hernandez of the Matamoros Hernandez brothers was indoctrinated into Constanza's cult. This was on March 25th of 1987, in one of Constanza's Mexico City homes. As he had with other members of the cult, Constanza had prior knowledge of the difficulties facing the Hernandez brothers. So, on the evening of the 25th, Constanza had read the cards for Elio, revealing this magical knowledge about the man and the difficulties that he and his organization faced. Not surprising, Elio was wowed by Constanza's magical prowess and agreed to undergo an initiation ritual where it said that Hernandez was cut deeper and more painfully than any of the other initiates had been previously. We know that Constanza instructed Elio to listen to Sarah Aldrete once they returned to Matamoros, and afterwards he took the drug kingpin out to his favorite restaurant, where Adolfo proceeded to explain to Elio how he would help restore the family to its former glory, but more than that, he would also make it stronger and more profitable than ever before through the use of his magic, provided that Elio was willing to cut Constanza in for 50% of his profits. Now, this obviously is a massive amount of money and shows you how hungry Constanza was for power. But Elio's acceptance of this proposition shows you just what a desperate situation the man was in at this point in time. 3 days after this initiation, Constanza, Elio, Elio's wife, Sarah Aldrete, and a few others returned to Matamoros. We know that during this point in time, Constanza had demanded to know who the most loyal soldiers in the Hernandez drug business were, and that Constanza wasted no time in initiating these men into the cult. Constanza explained to Elio that this was necessary as other members of the family were much more skeptical of religion, black magic, etc. than Elio himself was. But if they could get enough of Elio's soldiers to believe in El Padrino, then the other brothers would be more easily swayed into accepting the situation that Hernandez had placed the family in. Very quick order, 5 new members joined the cult. We know also that Sara Aldrete's apartment, the one that Constanza had constructed for her adjacent to her family's home, became the cult's de facto headquarters in Matamoros. With limited ceremonies being conducted there, this was due to the fact that Constanza and Sara realized that should a Nangana be constructed in Sarah's apartment, it would almost certainly cause problems for the Burgoyne cult, as her parents were almost certain to smell the stench of decay and begin to look for its source. According to Sara, during the first weeks of April 1987, as Constanza moved to consolidate his power within the Hernandez family, they held classes at Sarah's apartment where the new converts were instructed in various magical practices. All of this led to an initiation ceremony on the night of April 15th, where all 5 pledged their loyalty to both Adolfo and Sarah, promising to do anything that either of them asked. Within a few days of this initiation ceremony, members of the Hernandez family brought Constanza to a ranch known as Rancho Santa Elena. And it's here that Constanza finds a dilapidated wooden shack that he decides is perfect for them to construct a new Nangana in. But more importantly, the ranch is so isolated, so far out of the way and off the beaten path, it's a perfect place for the cult to commit human sacrifices with little to no fear of being discovered. Within a few days of all of this happened, the Hernandez family is besieged by a run of good luck. Federal officers who had made a number of large marijuana seizures over the ensuing months, unexpectedly, at least to the Hernandezes themselves, decide to make these drugs available to them. This was orchestrated by Constanza and other members of the cult in an effort to solidify the drug runners' commitment to Mayombe and to Adolfo Constanza. Adolfo goes so far as to instruct Elio as to who it is that he should sell the weed to. From this sale, which takes place in Houston, the Hernandez brothers make an estimated $200,000, half of which goes to Constanza and the cult. Sara Aldrete would later state that Adolfo gave her $5,000 of this $100,000 as something of a finder's fee, while Elio gave her a brand new Ford Taurus, and that in the process of giving her this Ford Taurus, he attempted to seduce her, although she was quickly able to escape by reminding Elio that she was El Madrina and belonged to no man save for Adolfo Constanza. We also know that this rejection infuriated Elio, and that when he later complained to Adolfo about this, Adolfo was steadfast in that no one may have Sarah but him. Over the course of the next month and a half, the Hernandez brothers continued to run drug shipments across the border with seeming impunity, guided by the black magic of their padrino. And as this is happening, Constanza is being contacted by members of the larger drug smuggling faction that controls this whole area of this country of Mexico. See, when the whole thing was set up for Adolfo to move in on the Hernandez family, he had told them that not only could he turn business around, but also he would help to eliminate all of these smaller rival gangs that had sprung up in the vacuum that was created when the oldest Hernandez brother had died back in January. Now that they are supplying the Hernandezes with drugs, these larger traffickers are now keen for Adolfo to follow through on the second part of the deal he had made with them. We know that Adolfo put this particular issue to Elio by basically telling him that it would be more profitable for them to be the only game in town, but also for the Hernandez family to have some control of their own drug supply. Basically meaning that the Hernandezes were to go out to these smaller organizations and start robbing from and murdering them. On May 28th, 1988, a man by the name of Moises Castillo was on his father's ranch guarding a shipment of marijuana when a truck approached. Castillo was from Houston, but returned seasonally to help his father work the land that he owned, and in doing so, had taken to allowing smugglers to stash their wares on the property until moving it over the border, as it brought him a few thousand dollars each time that this was done. The truck was driven by a man named Hector de la Fuente, and it was in fact Hector's marijuana that Castillo was in the process of guarding. Hector had been brought to the farm by members of the Hernandez family. We know that after loading the shipment of marijuana onto the truck, both De La Fuente and Castillo were brought to a orchard roughly a quarter mile from Castillo's father's farm. Some published reports have it that before he shot the men, Constanza asked both of them whether or not they were Christians, and when Castillo responded that he was, Adolfo is said to have muttered something along the lines of, "Didn't I tell you all Christians are animals?" before killing the two men with a silenced handgun. One of those present would later tell authorities that the manner in which Adolfo had committed these two homicides, his detached, reserved air was unsettling, as in their world at this point in time, usually some form of transgression, generally a major transgression, had to occur in order for the traffickers to work themselves up into enough of a frenzy that they would actually go out and commit murder. The way that Adolfo had committed these murders, however, was unique, alien to them. And apparently it affected all of them in different ways, with reports ranging from some individuals casting their eyes away from the scene to others actually becoming physically ill at the sudden, callous murder of two drug traffickers. Constanza had the members of the cult, all of whom, with the exception of Sarah, were present, dig a grave for the two bodies. We know later that he returned to this orchard, taking branches from one of the nearby trees to use in his Nangana as in Palo. Tree branches that had been baptized in blood were thought to have more power. We also know that Elio Hernandez is said to have been frightened of Constanza from this point on, from the detached manner he had murdered the men, with most accounts stating that he had done it with a smile on his face as though he had enjoyed it. We also know that later, when investigators would find these bodies and link them to the cult of Adolfo Constanza, they would be unable to fully explain why these two corpses alone showed no signs of mutilation. It would take them talking to Sarah Aldrete to learn that on the day the men had been killed, the moon had been in a waning phase, and thus magic was unable to be performed involving any parts of their bodies. It's also been said that later that day, after the murders had taken place and the marijuana was safely secured in the barn at Rancho Santa Ana, Constanza informed his followers that the next murder that they undertook would involve a ritual. According to members of the Federales, news of the double homicide spread rather quickly through the ranks of independent drug traffickers, with many of them deciding that they wanted to seek out this man known simply as El Padrino. One of them was a young man by the name of Serafin Hernandez Garcia, who also happened to be Elio's nephew, and was one of the only members of the Hernandez family that was actually an American, which meant that Elio could cross back and forth the border with impunity. Something that Adolfo had known prior to inducting the young man. Serafin was said to be a relatively quiet individual by his classmates at the Texas College in Brownsville that he attended, which coincidentally was the same college that Sarah Aldrete was attending. It was said that after being inducted into the cult by Constanza, however, the young man's personality underwent a drastic shift and he became rather loud and boastful. This is eventually going to lead to problems for the cult further down the line, but at the moment, Serafin serves a purpose. He is the perfect mule to bring drugs from the Mexican side into America and money back into Mexico without arousing too much suspicion. We know that Serafin was warned on a number of occasions away from the gang by his uncle, that his uncle told him that a young man such as him who wanted to be a law enforcement officer would be better suited steering clear of Constanza due to his murderous inclinations. However, those who knew Serafin stated that it was almost as though the young man was in a dream world once he came under the sway of Adolfo Constanza, not realizing the reality of the man or the danger that both he and those that he knew were in any time Constanza was involved. Constanza, who, from all appearances, generally loathed Serafin, allowed the young man to stay around, however, because of his ability to go back and forth across the border, but also because it was found that Serafin was a very good recruiter, bringing in individuals willing to risk their lives and their freedom to transport narcotics and money back and forth across the border. Despite the fact that the cult was growing and Elio and other members of the family were enamored by Constanza, many have said that the last remaining brother, the eldest of the clan, named Serafin, who was Little Serafin's father, remained apart from Constanza, participating in the various narcotics dealings and transportations, but otherwise not buying into any of the cult activities that Constanza was peddling. Later, when police would question the older Hernandez brother, Serafin would say, quote, "I'm a drug dealer. I have been for years, but I don't kill people." As the summer moves on, the rituals that are held at Sarah's apartment become few and far between. As Adolfo begins holding ceremonies out at the ranch, usually before sending his minions out on a new score. Most of the time, these were shipments that the Federales had intercepted that were left unguarded long enough for members of the Hernandez clan to go in and retrieve them, but we're not limited to that. They would also go out and target other low-level dealers taking their drugs, although for the time being it appeared that his blood bust was sated. That is, until some point in late July or early August, when Constanza began construction of a new nagana in the shack at Rancho Elena. With the nagana buried in the ground to fester, the cult heads back to Mexico City, where Sergio, the member who worked for the Federales, who had been transferred to Matamoros, had just been transferred back to. In tow this time were the core members of the cult, including Sarah Aldrete. At some point during this trip to Mexico City, one of Constanza's followers, a man by the name of Jorge, got into a fight with a transvestite tenant of his, with the transvestite ending up hitting one of Jorge's prized poodles. This leads Jorge to run to Constanza, and the two of them, with a number of others in tow, returned to the apartment to wait for this individual, who went by the name of Ramon Paz Esquivel, to return to the apartment. Not finding Ramon there, the men went back to Adolfo's condominium, returning later that evening, where they set about donning their ceremonial white clothing and lighting candles. When Ramon returned later on the evening of July 16th of 1988, Ramon and Constanza had encountered one another on a few other occasions, and Constanza did not like Ramon in any regard. Once Ramon was in the apartment, the men pounced, dragging him as he screamed into the bathroom. It's said that Ramon begged and pleaded for his life, and that Adolfo looked at him coldly, stating, "It's too late for any of that now." A few of the surviving members later told authorities that they had no idea that this young transvestite was about to be murdered. However, given what we know of the cult up until this point, I find it highly unlikely that any of them didn't realize that Adolfo had plans on killing this man, especially since he had a Nagana back in Matamoros that was in dire need of a new soul. In any event, Ramon ends up being murdered in the bathtub, while Constanza's followers set about ransacking the apartment to make it appear that Ramon, who was a known antiques dealer, had been robbed and possibly kidnapped. In the bathroom, Martin stood by as Constanza tortured the man as he lived. Some accounts have it that he cut off Ramon's fingers, toes, as well as genitalia before starting to skin him alive. Eventually, though, Ramon's screams, muffled with duct tape, become too much, and Constanza cuts his throat. After Ramon died, Constanza ordered that blood be collected for the Nagana that he had in Mexico City, while the fingers, toes, genitals, as well as a shin bone were to be transported to Matamoros, as was Ramon's brain. Afterwards, Ramon's remains were put into trash bags, along with Adolfo's blood-soaked clothing, which were later dropped into a vacant lot. A group of boys witnessed the drop-off of the discarded body, and after seeing what was inside, immediately called the police. However, at this point in time, this murder was not linked to those of the Calzadas family the prior year. As for the apartment, Constanza had his followers scrub it thoroughly to remove all traces of the crime that had taken place there. Very quickly after this, the cult is back in Matamoros, bringing with them not only the remains of Ramon, but also roughly 165 pounds of stolen cocaine. Constanza had set it up so that the drugs were ostensibly to be sold in Mission, Texas. However, he had been planning on duping the buyers of nearly $1 million, instead stealing the money from the men in place of the drugs. And as a result of this, Elio's brother, Ovidio, had been kidnapped by these men. And while he would later tell authorities that he blamed Constanza for his brother's kidnapping, at this point in time, Elio was too enamored by the man, too enthralled by, you know, what he had done for them to even dare suggest that it was Constanza's machinations which had caused his brother's kidnapping. Instead, Constanza sent Elio out to find a sacrifice so that they could not only dedicate the Nagana to the dark gods, but also do a spell to ensure Ovidio's safe return. So some point just after the first week in August of 1988, a drifter was picked up on the road outside of Rancho Elena and brought back to meet with El Padrino. Now, the long and the short of this kidnapping is that the man that Constanza and his cohorts had ripped off was an extremely high-ranking member in a drug family with links to not only drug dealers in Colombia, but also members of the Chicago outfit, that is, the Mafia. So when they decided to take the brother of Elio and the brother's young son, Elio took it seriously when he was told either return the money now or they will die. All of this led Elio to picking up the hitchhiker who was brought back to Rancho Elena, where he was ritualistically tortured and raped before having his brain and his heart removed from his body. Afterwards, Constanza instructed Elio to wrap a piece of wire around the slaughtered man's spine and to leave it sticking out of the ground when they buried his body. When pressed about the fate of his brother by Elio Hernandez, Constanza told the man that the brother and his son would be returned soon, unharmed. Lo and behold, the following day, August 13th, Ovidio and his son were returned to the Hernandez family, with the kidnappers having fled town. It's interesting to note that it would later come to light that Elio and little Seraphin had gone to the police prior to going to Constanza. However, the police would do nothing as Elio refused to tell the officers why his brother and nephew had been kidnapped. Later, after his brother and nephew had been returned, Elio phoned the police, who demanded that he come in and talk to them and explain to them what this entire ordeal was about. Eventually, Elio admitted to them that his brother had been kidnapped over $800,000. However, he refused to divulge any more information, and the police would end up seizing his brother's brand new pickup truck, as well as vehicles the kidnappers had left in the area upon fleeing, although no charges would be brought against any of them. While the Hernandez brothers believed that it was El Padrino's black magic that was responsible for the returning of the man and young child, police would later state that it was their belief that the kidnappers, while seasoned killers, had no stomach for taking the life of a young child and had simply abandoned their plan when it became apparent that the Hernandez family had no intentions of doing as was demanded of them. Personally, I think it's more likely than not that the individuals pulling the strings realized that should they go through with this killing, it was an almost guaranteed certainty that a war would erupt in and around Matamoros, which would in turn lead to police attention on their activities and possibly lead arrests and further charges for the man that Constanza and crew had ripped off, that being Manuel Pancho Jaramillo of Mission, Texas, who at this point in time was awaiting trial on cocaine and marijuana trafficking. After this, the family continued on as they had been, with Sarah relaying El Padrino's orders to the Hernandez brothers while Adolfo was down in Mexico City. From all the evidence we have, it does not appear that any further murders occurred, at least for a period of roughly 3 months. That is, until November of 1988. when it was brought to Constanza's attention that a man by the name of Jorge Valente del Fierro Gomez had violated El Padrino's standing order that no member of the cult use narcotics by imbibing in cocaine. Now, Gomez was not just any follower. He had at one point been an officer in the Matamoros police force before leaving the force to pursue life as a drug dealer, eventually being brought into the fold as an informant with special authority by the Comandante of the Federales in that area, which basically meant he was a cop in all aspects, including having a badge, although he appeared on no official paperwork, and basically did the work of the corrupt officials in the Federales, accepting bribes, issuing threats, and by some accounts, possibly even having carried out murders at their behest. And while he was valuable to Constanza because of this, the fact that he had violated Constanza's rule concerning drug usage, but had also stolen the drugs he had consumed from the Hernandez brothers, meant that he needed to be made an example of. And it was Sarah who supplied this information to Adolfo, as Gomez had been with her at the time, trying to impress her in an attempt to win Sarah's favor and get into her pants. He had removed a small vial of cocaine and sniffed it in front of her, something that instantly disgusted Sarah, who, as Adolfo's second in command, dutifully reported this infraction to El Padrino. The night that he returned to Rancho Santa Elena, Adolfo Constanza summoned his followers to the ranch without warning. Once they were all gathered there, he began to conduct a ritual, sacrificing cats and chickens before informing everyone that there was a traitor in their midst. It was said later that Valente took a step back when Constanza proclaimed that this individual who had betrayed them had not only used drugs, but had stolen them from the family, and then laughed about it as he attempted to seduce the one woman who was Constanza's alone. These same people stated that all of those gathered instantly turned at Valente's movements, eyeing him with hatred and suspicion. Contemporary accounts have it that Constanza then declared that the former officer was in fact the enemy before leaping towards him and breaking his jaw with a machete. Some of those gathered stated that they were hesitant to partake in the murder of Gomez, but that Constanza ordered it, letting them know that he had offended the gods, and that if they would not partake in his torture and murder, they themselves would have to be sacrificed as well. What followed was a grisly scene, as all of the man's ribs and fingers were broken, his face smashed into an unrecognizable mess, and his head cracked open with a hammer that was wielded by Adolfo, who admonished all of them that this is what would happen to any who betrayed the cult or their gods. Afterwards, the body of Valente was buried in an unmarked grave. Not long after this, Constanza returned once again to Mexico City. However, he would be back in very short order to make two more sacrifices to the Nagana. This was in December of 1988. Both of these men had been assistants to Salvador. The Federale, who was a member of the cult and had been stationed there, putting everything in motion for the cult to gain access to an eventual control of the Hernandez family, but also the men responsible for setting up the cocaine ripoff, which had nearly cost Elio Hernandez one brother and his nephew. From the information we have, they did not do anything really to gain Adolfo's anger, other than the fact that Salvador began to distrust both men, and he relayed this information to Constanza, who decided that the men would have to die. So, with Salvador's participation, both officers were sent to Matamoros from Mexico City, where they were met at the airport by members of the Hernandez family. Later that evening, the two men were ritualistically murdered at Rancho Santa Elena. Both men were severely tortured, with their hearts being removed. After this murder had been conducted, Constanza instructed his followers to bury their bodies in the field nearby, at which point he went to the grave of the hitchhiker and removed the wire from the ground, attached to which was the spinal column of the hitchhiker. Constanza reportedly gave this to Elio, instructing him to clean it off and then wear it as a necklace, which would, quote-unquote, bring him luck forever. Another murder that's eventually going to be linked to Adolfo Constanza, although tangentially, is a triple murder-suicide that had actually taken place in September, when the head of Interpol for Mexico, a man by the name of Florentino Ventura, got into a drunken argument with his wife, whom he shot, before proceeding to shoot his wife's friend and then himself. Later, it would come out that the man had been under Constanza's sway, and that guilt over knowledge of the things that Constanza was perpetrating during this point in time may have led to the man taking his own life. It's known that after this point in time, the gang seems to have leveled off on its murderous spree for a little while, at least. During the early months of winter, we know that he, Martin, Sarah, and a member of the Hernandez family named Doobie went to numerous tourist locales in Mexico during that point in time, and that Doobie, who would become one of Constanza's most ardent and violent followers, began showing off souvenirs he had kept from the various murders that he had participated in when he went out to the local bars in and around Matamoros in an effort to recruit new members for the cult. However, it does not appear as though anyone really took him up on these offers, although many who already considered Doobie to be a crazy man said that when he showed them these grisly souvenirs, it just confirmed to them that he was a man that they needed to stay away from. One interesting thing that happened towards the end of the year occurred in Mexico City, where members of the cult gathered for an actual Christmas party. There, a woman by the name of Carla, who you might remember from the first episode, who had been indoctrinated into the cult by Constanza when he first arrived in Mexico City, complained to him that he had not been with her in more than a year, meaning had not had sexual relations with her. And Constanza, who by this point was avoiding all sexual interactions with females, told her that she could go and find another sexual partner if she wanted to, as he himself was now married to a woman named Sarah, and that they not only had a child, but that this child had been born on Carla's birthday. Now, according to Sarah Aldrete, she had remained in Matamoros to spend the holiday with her family, and when she called Mexico City to wish Adolfo a Merry Christmas, had been greeted on the phone by Carla, who began yelling at her. Later, when Sarah asked Adolfo what Carla's problem was, it was said that he responded to her that Carla was angry that Adolfo was sleeping with her as well. However, we do know from documentation that reality is that Sarah discovered that Adolfo had told Carla that he and Sarah were married, something that Sarah secretly took great pleasure in. We're going to touch on El Madrina briefly again here at the end of the episode. By this point in time, the end of 1988, it's been said that Sarah Maria Aldrete had become the godmother. She was seen as just as controlling, manipulative, and conniving as Adolfo himself was, doing things such as sleeping with Elio one time in order to get further control of him, to the point that the man would tell her down to the last nickel how much money he had. And although Elio attempted to sleep with her on a number of other occasions, Sarah always turned him down, eventually getting word back to Elio's wife of his infatuation with her, which effectively put an end to Elio pursuing Sarah, although he still reported everything to her, even things that he did not have to. There are also stories of her exerting similar control over others within the cult, although, to the best of my knowledge, sex was not used as a weapon in the majority of these cases. She was simply able to beguile and insinuate herself into these individuals' lives, much as Adolfo had, while placing herself in a position of power over them, while still seeming to be subservient to Constanza. We are going to end the episode at this point. It's the end of 1988. The cult of Matamoros is in full violent swing, and there is much more to come in the following year, much of which is going to bring the followers of Adolfo Constanza international headlines. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's episode, and until next time, stay morbid.